And there was one verse actually in the Bible that really stood out to me. And it, well, there's two things I don't think they're focused on enough, even today. One of them was, do not just be hearers of the word, be doers of the word. Right? I took that personally, you know, I took that really personally. Like, actually, I'm not supposed to be someone who just talks about it or hears, goes every Sunday and hears a sermon and then doesn't go out and share that. And then, you know, one of the last things Christ said, you know, prior to crucifixion is, you know, go out into the world and spread the gospel, you know. And I just wasn't seeing that from church to church. I was seeing a lot of people coming like a community club, and we all have a great time and we get our fix while we're in the building. But then Monday morning happens and we all just go back into the real world. But how many people are actually sharing what they've learned? And I'm not talking about preaching. I'm talking about, are you living? Are you being a doer of the word? Are you living what you've just like been worshiping?
He is a 17 times author, host of the Crown podcast, founder and executive producer of Crown Inc. We have, who is literally now my new best friend, the beautiful, amazing, wonderful, just soul brother of mine, Steve White, on the podcast today. I pray this blesses you, friend. I believe God put a specific light in your heart for a purpose, for you to shine it into this world in a way that nobody else can, a light that is unique as the print on your finger. And our job is to take that light and go love people with it in this world. Everywhere you go, you have a ministry. You don't just have to be a preacher to have a ministry. Your light is your ministry. It's how you shine it at your job, at your family, at the dinner table with your friends, at the movies, at the park, at your apartment. Everywhere you go, you are made to shine your light. Do it. Be it. Love people. Be kind. Honor them. Honor yourself. This is Made to Shine. We rocking and rolling. Happy Thursday. Happy my heart to yours Thursday. I'm so excited to share my heart with you all. It's so funny. I always get so tickled because I'm a very emotional person, sensitive person. And sometimes that gets me into trouble because I am very in tune with my emotions and my heart. Like I feel things so deeply. And sometimes it's great because I never run out of content. I was at church on Sunday and my preacher said, my dad once told me, if you always preach from your weakness, you'll never run out of content. And I really loved that. And I think when I thought that, I was like, oh, that's why I never run out of content. It's because I am so acutely aware of the weaknesses in my life and also just like what's going on in my heart. And I just think it's so cool of God to, like with writing or with this, you know, and I pray it helps you all, but it also helps me like just to use what I feel and just get it out of me. Cause you know, it's like, we're all vessels. And so when you have things in your heart and you're feeling things in your heart, they need to get out. Like they need to be fluid. And again, I have this poster like right above my, not poster, it's like a piece of paper that I wrote something on. Let's not glorify this. It's a scrounged up piece of notebook paper that I wrote a reminder on and got a piece of duct tape and stuck it to the wall. And it goes, it says real, not perfect. Because I think that something I try to do in my life is just always recognize that life is never going to be perfect. It's never going to be the perfect time, the perfect place. You're never going to have the perfect thing to say. It's never going to be perfect conditions. But if I can be real, if I can show up and be real, well, what's being real, Annie? I think being real is recognizing you are a masterpiece and a forever work in progress, and like living in that space. That's real to me. It's like coming to you today, not super confident, but super humble, accessing confidence in the one who gives me confidence, he who gives me strength, right? Like, I think that's what being real is to me. And so every day in my life, when I think about what I'm doing and what I want to do and how I'm doing it, it's like, okay, maybe it's less about looking good doing it and less about doing it in a way that other people clap for you, and more about, okay, am I in this moment? Am I feeling this moment? Am I showing up to this moment with my entire heart, the good, the bad, the ugly, and giving yourself grace there, which is a perfect segue to what we're talking about today, which is this idea of having the courage to feel it. What is it? It is the day. It is that moment. It is that hardship. It is that friendship. It is the good, the bad, the ugly parts of yourself that you try to run away from. Like, it is by nature just like all of these things that you try to numb out, whether it's big things or small things. I was talking to a friend the other day, and she is going through a really hard time right now. And she's like, Annie, I recognized in therapy that like my vice of numbing out is positivity. Like, I always feel like I have to find an opportunity in something, or I feel like I have to find a positive spin. And when she said that, I so related to that, because I think I fall into the trap also of like, okay, what's the opportunity here? How can I look at this positively? But whether we realize it or not, that is in a way to numb out of actually feeling the pain. Because when you do that, you're not actually feeling the weight of the pain that you're going through. You're just like automatically switching into this other gear of what's the opportunity, which makes it no different than drugs or sex or alcohol. Or, I mean, yes, in a way, yes, like the repercussions are not as vast, but it's still numbing out. And I think, wow, how many of us just don't feel the things we're going through? And how do we numb out? And I think a lot of us, we numb out by busyness, by trying to go super fast. So I was talking to someone that we just like, we're just in the season of kind of embarking on what this relationship looks like for us. And yes, he's amazing and super special and wonderful. And no, I haven't talked about him before because I'm very weird about like saying I'm dating someone to you guys or to anything before I know what it is. You know what I mean? I'm just like, we're not doing that until we know what it is, but it's official and he's wonderful. And so, but it's funny because this is one of the most, I feel like this is the most mature relationship I've ever been a part of. And we were talking about like, we think it's a combination of we each have had these really kind of interesting journeys the past couple of years, but then also like God's timing. It's like, if I had dated this guy 2 years ago, it would not be what it is because of my own personal journey, his personal journey, but also us together. And recently we've had a ton of like really hard conversations because we've been dating now for a few months, but it became official about 2 months ago. And things are coming up that like past hurts, past traumas, past insecurities that we are projecting onto one another, as you naturally do in a relationship. Like, I'm so excited. She's going to be on the podcast soon, but there's a Christian counselor on relationships, and she posted something the other day, like 90% of the concern you have when you bring to a relationship has nothing to do with that current relationship. About 90% of the time when you're struggling with something, it's because of past trauma, past relationships. Only about 10% of the time does it actually have to do with the actual person that you're in a relationship with. And I was like, that's so true. Because when I'm over here, like talking with him about things that I'm feeling or insecurities that I'm having or like questions that I'm having or doubts that I'm having, it has nothing to do with him. It has everything to do with like all these previous relationships or friendships or situations I've gone through that I'm projecting onto him. And it's so funny because we had like a really hard conversation the other day. And, you know, it was one of those that were like, okay, we don't know. Like, where is this going to go from here? We don't know. And what I thought was so cool is like, we talked through it, but there was this component of it where in the beginning of dating, it was like, things were so fast. And you know how it is, like, you're so infatuated and you're like, this person's so great. And you get so excited and everything's so great and everything goes so fast. But then you hit this point where things start popping up and hard conversations start to be had. And you're like, okay, crap. Like, I just want to get back to the good times. I just want to get back to the fun, exciting. And you almost start to think like you're doing something wrong because you're slowing down to have these harder conversations. And whether you intentionally slow down to have them, or a lot of times I think it's the opposite. I think things come up, and then insecurities and past traumas and stuff comes up to where you're forced to slow down and be like, okay, wait, let's actually think about this here. Like, are we good for one another? Like, is this a healthy partnership? Is this something that's worth pursuing? And you think that because it's not like giddy, 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 exciting, 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 fast, fast, fast anymore, it's not good. And because you're not moving 1,000 miles an hour, it's not healthy. When in reality, it's actually the opposite. When you have the courage to sit and to move at a pace that isn't super fast, but at a pace where you actually have a chance to absorb your surroundings, to observe what's going on, and to feel what's going on, I think that's when strength is actually built, whether it's in a relationship, whether it's in a friendship, whether it's in a job environment, in a workout. I was literally telling him this because we were talking about like where things were at and like moving forward, what that would look like and all this stuff. And I'm like, you know, I think it's kind of like working out to me. So, you know, guys, I do my P-Volve. I love my P-Volve. And I have days, like 3 days of the week, I do a HIIT workout with P-Volve, and it's fast. It's cardio burn. It's da-da-da-da-da. But I'll tell you, I am never more sore than after a ebbs and flow day. That's what it's called, ebbs and flow. And there's a lot of ebbs. Like, it's slow, it's steady. And I may be wearing just my 3 pound ankle weights or my 1.5 pound ankle weights, but because I'm going so freaking slow, my entire body is so activated and I feel it so much more. And my muscles, I can literally feel them getting stronger. And I'm so much more sore after those days that I've gone really slow. Because when I go fast in cardio burn, it's easy to not actually feel the movement. Ooh, I like that. Feel the movement. We don't feel the movement when we go really fast in a workout, just as we don't feel the moment when we try to go so fast through it. And I think if we could have the courage to take things slower and actually feel it, I'm not saying always go slow. I am probably like one of the most fast moving individuals you will ever, like, it would blow your mind. And I'm saying this, like, this is not a good thing. Sometimes I move too fast. However, in seasons where you feel that whether an opportunity presents itself or you're forced to slow down, if you could, instead of judging it as like, oh, this isn't as good of a time, or oh, this means I'm not doing something right, or oh, this means this relationship isn't going somewhere because we're having to slow down, looking at it as a beautiful gift. Like, it is a gift to move slow. It is a gift to take a second. It is a gift to take a beat. Not only is it a gift, it is a necessity. That is where strength is built. And I was, that's what I was telling my boyfriend the other day, was I was like, okay, this is a gift. Like, yes, we've had some hard conversations. Like, yes, things have been, we've had to take like a little bit of a step back. It's not as fast. It's not as like, blah, blah, blah. But that's a beautiful thing, because now we're actually being able to sit in some of these harder conversations and not rush them. And that's where faith comes in. You know, it's like anything in life, and this is kind of what we were talking about. It's like anything in life, whether it's a job, a relationship, a friendship, whatever have you, like there's a faith component in it. You don't know what's on the other side of it. You don't know if you're going to marry this person. You don't know if you're going to break up with this person. You don't know if you're going to be friends with this person forever. You don't know if they're just a friend for a season. You don't know if you're going to be in this job for 4 years. You don't know if you're going to be in this job for just 4 more weeks. You don't know. But that's the beauty of it. That's faith. And like literally this morning, I was in Ecclesiastes and it said, I'm in 7:8. Finishing is better than starting. Patience is better than pride. And it's so funny because I literally circled finishing is better than starting. And I put a star next to it. Like, done is better than perfect. Booyah. That is my life saying, is like, done is better than perfect. But I don't think you can read that in the truth of what it's trying to say without reading the second piece to that. Patience is better than pride. Yes, is done better than perfect? Absolutely, because it's better to have an executed idea than just an idea that stays in your head. It's better to have the hard conversation than just be thinking all the hard questions in your head. It's better to have a final product, something you can address and adjust and make steps to improve on, versus just like that idea, again, just staying in your brain. And I think some of us, we get so like we love studying, but we don't actually like taking the test. We prepare to prepare instead of preparing to execute. But then there's others of us like me who have gone the route of done is better than perfect. And we almost like sidestep any process that requires us to take time and requires us to sit and requires us to move slow. I think this is why in the past with any relationship, like, when things stop going so fast, and when I say fast, I mean like, you know, fast as in, oh my gosh, like I like you so much. And then it's like, oh my gosh, I love you. And then it's, oh my gosh, like everything is perfect, perfect, perfect. And like we're having all these great conversations and there's not really any resistance so far. And then once resistance starts hitting, it's like running with the wind versus against it. In the beginning of a relationship, you feel like you're running with the wind. It's like, oh, you go so fast and it's so fun. But eventually the wind starts hitting you and you're still running, but like it's there's a lot more tension there and you start to go slower. And I used to think that was an indication of, oh, this is not working out. This is not working. Like we need to break up. That sounds so bad. But as someone who by nature, I'm conditioned through my corporate job and it like go, 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 go. When things do slow down, I've had to learn, wait. Maybe that's not a bad thing. Maybe it's not even a neutral thing. Maybe it's a better thing. And that second part of that, patience is better than pride. I think that's an essential component when we kind of take a perspective from finishing is better than starting. Because yes, finishing is better than starting. But if you're trying to finish something from a prideful posture, what's a prideful posture in that regard? I want to finish this to say that I finished it, to feel good about myself, because I need this thing out here to make me feel good about myself. I want to finish this project really fast, this workout really fast. I want to get to the finish line of this relationship really fast, whether that's the finish line of being official boyfriend and girlfriend, whether that's being official husband and wife, fiance. Like when you come at it from a prideful posture, then it's not worth finishing. Patience is better than pride. So what does finishing look like when you come at it from a posture of patience? It means, yes, of course, finishing is better than starting. But when you come at it from a posture of patience, it means that finishing is something that is always in process. We're never totally finished until we're in heaven. Like everything on this earth is going to be in process. always. But if you can be patient and not prideful when it comes to that, that is when you're able to produce a beauty in seasons that are fast or slow, quick or tapered, moving 1,000 miles an hour or negative 1,000 miles an hour, moving with the wind or against it. And that's something I've been trying to take into consideration with my partner right now, my boyfriend. Like when we're going in this season where it's like, oh Lord, okay, we're having the hard conversations and we're having a lot of them, but it's necessary to build something that's very special, that people who go right past this time don't get. And so when the opportunity presents itself, whether by default or you choosing to opt into it, to move slower, look at that as a gift. I even think about like your relationship with God. I did a podcast episode once called The Courage to Take It Slow with God. And as someone who, again, by nature, I'm very, very fast. I'm very, very fast. When you have the courage to take it slow with God, that's when you can really feel him. Just like when I move really fast with my 3-pound ankle weights on, I don't really feel the weight, the activation of those muscles. So I'm not as sore. But when I slow down and like I really feel the pull of it, I mean, I'm sore as a booger after that because I felt it. And I think if we can all just take a second and ask God for the courage to feel the moments of our life, just as I, in my Pilates, have learned to feel the movement, that's when we're cultivating the strength in our heart and in our spirit. We're building spirit stamina when we do that. And that's what's so cool, right? But you don't get to experience that unless you have the courage to feel it. And to have the courage to feel it, you have to have the faith to know that what you feel might not feel good. It might hurt. It might be painful. It might leave you sore. But when you know the one that holds you, and look, I have a poster that says Romans 8:38-39, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. For I am sure. To be sure of something means you've sat in it for a while. It means you've spent a lot of time with that thing. I think about all the things in my life I'm very sure of. There's not a lot. I'm sure my parents love me. I'm sure that if I did anything in this earth, like they would back me. But that came from 25 years of walking with them. I'm sure God will never leave me because I've had the courage to feel him and take it slow with him. The best things in life aren't transactional. It's when you have the courage to sit. Finishing is better than starting, but patience is better than pride. With whatever you finish, have the courage to be patient in that process. That's the beauty there. Whether it's having hard conversations with your partner, like I've been having in the dating scene, or in your husband or your wife, or maybe it's with your boss, with your employees, with the people that you manage, with friendships, you know, a housing situation, you don't love your roommate situation, or even with God. It's like, God, I'm frustrated right now. I don't feel you right now. I'm not saying when you sink and slow down, you're going to feel God all the time. Don't limit God to your goosebumps. He's always with you. even if you don't feel him, he's still there. I was reading a book the other day, Practicing the Way by John Mark Comer. And he said, he took a page from some play, but basically it was like, this guy was like, I just don't believe in God. Sorry. And the guy responded to him, that's okay. God still believes in you. And that really hit me. Because it's true. It's like, even if you don't believe in God, God believes in you. Even if you don't feel God, God is with you and he feels you. And there's this balance of, like, even all throughout scripture, you see Jesus, it's this dance of moving fast and healing tons of people, but then he retreats and he has the courage to take it slow. I mean, think about it. That man's to-do list, he had to save the world in like 3 years of ministry. You know what I mean? He could have started each day like, I don't have enough time, but he didn't. He had the courage to move fast when he needed to, but then he had the courage to take it slow with God and feel and hear from God when he needed to, which was every day. Have the courage to feel. To feel. To sink. To sit in this space. And accept each season as it comes. You're going to have fast seasons. You're going to have seasons where you need to sink. I remember when I was laid off from my corporate company for like 2 months, I just sunk in the best way. Like I did. I took time. I went on walks with God for hours with no phone, just by myself. And it was beautiful. And now, like, in my schedule, I don't have hours a day to do that. But are there pockets where I try to sink? Yeah, there are. Because I need that. And I hope one day again, I have a season where I have hours to go walk with God. But until then, it's the dance of the courage to feel it, the courage to take it slow, recognizing you need to, and putting your faith in the God that sees you, knows you, loves you, and is with you. So you know when you do feel it, the moment, the situation, the relationship conversation, the job conversation, and it sucks and it doesn't feel good, you know who holds you together. The reason I have the courage to take my workout slow, we're milking, we're mailing in this Pilates analogy. The reason I have the courage to take it slow is because I trust my trainers. I have a good trainer. And when they tell me, Annie, slow down, feel the movement, feel the glute, feel the hamstring, like feel it, activate it. There's a difference. They always say, like, you have your 3 pound light hand weights, and they're like, there's a difference between squeezing them and feeling them and just moving them really fast and not activating your muscles. The reason I can trust that when God tells me patience is better than pride and to take it slow is because he's a good trainer. He's a good trainer. And I know that in doing that, I'm not going to get injured. The pain I'm experiencing isn't going to injure me. It's going to make me stronger. And so have the courage to move slow. Have the courage to take things one step at a time. Have the courage to feel the day, friend. Truly. I am sending you so much love. Beautiful friend, I hope that this episode blessed you and brought a smile to your day. Hey, if we're not already hanging out on social media, go find me on Instagram. I'm typically living in my stories over there. Or join my weekly email fam. You can find the links for that on my Instagram as well. You guys, I hope you were reminded from this episode today that you are a light and you are called to go shine it in all spaces that you hold. And if you love this podcast, I would so appreciate if you shared it with anyone that came to your heart. And or a review would help me so much. Love you guys. Go shine your light. See you next week.